God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our message for today is based on the idea of prayer or ratio, coming from 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1, especially 1 through 4. And let me just quickly reread that. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good. And it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This is our text. I will admit, when you first glance at the first few verses of this chapter, you might sit there and say, okay, Paul, what are you trying to teach us? First of all, that prayers, supplications, intercessions, and thanksgiving for all people. Plain and simple, God wants you, as he's trying to communicate from Paul to Timothy and for us today, to be praying for, encourage, and be thankful for every single person here on this earth. Whether you like them or not, whether you agree with them or not, whether you're able to communicate well or not, it does not matter because, as verse 4 reminds us, God wants all people to be saved. God wants all people to be with you in heaven above. You have been saved by God's grace through faith. Amen. And God doesn't want it just to be you and him in heaven, but everyone else. Not just the people here at Trinity, but the people down the street, in our community, throughout the whole world. Plain and simple, that's what it is. But notice verse 2. Verse 2 has a separate, sort of like special clause here. For kings and for all who are in high positions. Well, don't kings and all leaders and all people who are in authority, aren't they part of all people anyway? The answer is yes. Then why this special inclusion here? I will admit it might be a little puzzling. So let me share with you a brief story account, true story, about part of my summer vacation. Part of my summer vacation spent with my family as we went on a family trip. One of the destination stops was Springfield, Illinois. Seeing the Presidential Museum of Lincoln. Great trip, if you ever have a chance, go and see it. It's interesting to note a couple good take-home points from that visit was, number one, as president, you get to do a lot of strange things. I'm just very thankful I'm not elected president, because one of the things that President Lincoln got to do was they wanted to make a mask of his head. So sort of like putting on something like plaster of Paris or whatever the mixture was, they put it on his head, allowed it to dry, peeled it off, and so then they could make sculptures from that mask, from that mold of his head. Better him than me. They did that at the beginning part of his presidency, and they did it again, 2 months before he was assassinated. He went through the same process over again. And it was interesting, after his assassination, of course, you know, someone wanted to make a statue of him. And in comparing the two molds, they kind of looked at that second mold, and their first reaction was, wait a minute, was this mold made after he was dead? And the reason why is all the facial features seemed to be sucked in a little bit. It seemed like there was no life in him. Corpses often looked better. And the answer had to be given, no, this was made while he was alive. Where's the carryover point? President Lincoln, while he was in office, for those few short years, lost a lot of his life. His life force was a little consumed. Life was being taken from him. And so what was walking around, so to speak, one could say, was almost like a lifeless corpse. Almost brings you images of zombies and vampires of today's Hollywood, but this is real life, not something fictional. I can't make this up. It's true, it's in Springfield, in case if you want to see it. So, Where am I going with all this? One of the reasons we need to pray for our leaders, because they are in positions of authority, and the weight and the burden, not only the civil war, but of the second take-home point from Springfield, sort of fits in well. There was unfortunately another take-home point as I was going from one gallery to another gallery, one showing a certain aspect of Lincoln's life with certain artifacts, and I finally got to more of what you would consider an artistic gallery. I hesitate to describe it as an artistic gallery. Maybe a better way to describe this as a parasite gallery. This was probably from the back of my mind where Lincoln lost a lot of his life force. In this small zigzagging type gallery, there were pictures on the wall, not photographs. I don't even want to call it artistic pictures. What they were political cartoons. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm actually one who actually appreciates political cartoons. You know, cartoons that sometimes pick up on, you know, maybe a bad decision here and there, or, you know, here's the state of things. Things could have been better. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy these cartoons, except for these were of a different caliber than what I was used to. I couldn't stomach more than five of them, because each one of them, they were not going after the issues. They were going after the person. I was actually appalled by the time I got through the first half dozen, and I could not finish the rest of the gallery. Now I know why Paul says, oh, by the way, pray for your leaders. Pray for kings and all who are in high positions. Sounds like fourth commandment language. Paul didn't invent anything new, did he? Picking up on the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother, that it may be well with you and you may live long upon the earth. Paul has similar words here. You see, Paul understands, and so does the Holy Spirit in trying to communicate this to us, that people who are in authority are easy targets. And I'm not just picking on the media, I'm actually using Satan here as the targeter. What Satan wants to try to do is try to get these leaders who we put into positions of authority, whether they're mom, dad, teachers, pastors, or elected officials, and get them to sin, get them to make a mistake. And see, there's a reason why Satan wants them to make a mistake, is because if they make a mistake, and we hold them in such high position, Satan can use that as a little bit of a leverage and say, see, they're no better than you and me. And then that leverage opens up a little bit more. And Satan says, see, they're wrong. Oh, we need to get rid of them. We need to destroy every single thing about them. That's what Satan tries to do. And Satan tries to mess with our minds at this point, and trying to sit there and get us to rehearse over and over again that mistake in the back of our mind. And we repeat it over and over again to get more anger and hatred dwelling up within us. So that Satan sort of licks his chops and has a great smile on his hands and says, you're exactly where I want you to be. Notice God's defense. God says, Jesus says, let me rephrase that. Pray for those who persecute you. Love your enemy. Paul here, under the guise of the Holy Spirit, says, pray for kings and all who are in high positions. Yes, they will make mistakes. Yes, they will sin. But you need to pray for them. Why? So that you do a better job? Okay, that's one point, but that's not the main point. The main point is to guard your own heart, so it does not fester with anger and hatred. One of the other things I was doing this summer, not part of the family vacation, I was representing our circuit in Houston at our national convention, in which we were electing the new president of the Missouri Synod and some other things. After Matthew Harrison was elected, he was invited to come to the podium and to address the convention and all of Synod. And his opening words were a little surprising. He didn't sit there and say thank you to his wife and his faithful supporters, but his opening words were this: I wish to inform you that you have kept your perfect record of electing sinners as presidents of the Missouri Synod. I guarantee you, I will sin and fail. I will fall short. I will sin against you. I wish also to say that right now, I forgive all who have in any way have sinned against me or anybody else, and plead your forgiveness for anything that I have said or did that offended you. I beg of you your prayers. I beg of you your daily prayers and intercession. That wasn't the opening words that I was kind of expecting, but words that fit with what St. Paul is trying to teach us here in our text. Words that remind us that, yes, leaders do make mistakes. I also sin as your pastor. I am not the perfect pastor. I'm not the perfect husband or father or citizen here in the United States or member of my community. I have sinned many ways also. And people can use my sins and dwell upon them, and that anger can fester in them. And here's the answer. The answer isn't me being perfect. I can't do that. Matthew Harrison can't do that. The President of our United States can't do that. The answer here is that we all pray for our leaders. Why? Because we need to be reminded they are human. They make mistakes. They need forgiveness. Just like each and every one of us rejoices in the fact that we have been forgiven by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we also need to share that forgiveness with those in authority, because Satan wants to use that aspect that they're in authority, and when they make a mistake, and Satan wants to use that to fester within you, to destroy something that's even more important: your faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, don't let this happen. Use God's tools, His words, His sacraments, prayer. He commands you to pray for them. The structure, the order, this is what we need. Commands you to pray for them, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Is it going to be perfect? None of our leaders are perfect. You won't see a perfect life until you are with Christ in heaven above. Until that time, we need to face the reality: we are all humans. We make mistakes. We are in need of forgiveness. So God here calls us to open up our hearts to all people, to show all people, regardless who they are, whether they're leaders or not, but then especially our leaders, to show them that love and that forgiveness and to pray for them. If it's a human being and it is alive, God says, I want to use you as my tools and instruments to reach them, to show them that love, to show them that forgiveness, because God wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. Is prayer important? You better believe it is. It can change things, but mostly it changes you. It changes your heart and puts it in line with God. That's where we want to be. So I encourage each and every one of you to increase your prayer life, to pray for all people and especially your leaders, your pastor, your district president, your synodical president, the leaders of your community, state, and government, and all leaders throughout the world. They need your prayers, they need your love, and they need your forgiveness. And in doing so, God says, it'll strengthen your faith, and trust in Him. This is what it's all about, is it not? It's about prayer. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.